Take two. We've never had to do two takes on a podcast opening before. This is like new ground for us.
I know. This is... Well, if I wasn't such a mess, I could have just figured that out in the first place. Maybe this is your B-roll.
This is the B-roll.
Yeah, just you could just share the fact that we had to redo the whole thing from the top without being specific about my shame.
It's so Sweet quick to God. Fix that shame, though. That's the best part.
Welcome to episode number 66 of The Memory Jar. As always, we are here to remember the cards, the decks, the people, and the stories that make Magic the game we love. I'm David Prestwood, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Christian Wright. Christian, how are you doing this week?
We're recording on a momentous day in Magic history. Our girl Asmore, I'm still working on the pronunciation for her. She was on the flavor text for Granite Gargoyle, Lightning X, and the unhinged card Sauté, was spoiled in Modern Horizons 2. And in honor of the best cook in the Magic multiverse, I'm going to fire up a grill this weekend, hopefully, and cook something, but thankfully not use demon parts.
You're thinking like hot dogs, hamburgers, maybe some veggies, something like that?
Yeah, like brats. Who doesn't like a good brat? You know,
I like a good brat.
Yeah.
I like a bad brat, probably. Just, you know, brat me.
Brat you? I'll brat you. You know what's best?
Okay.
What's the best part about summer grilling is that as long as you grill the meats, you don't have to actually, like, try to make homemade sides. This might be a little too close to some uncomfortable truths, but as white people, we like to ruin American grill sides, like put raisins, potato salad. Why are we ruining good sides? Just like buy nice potato salad from your local Wegmans, or like buy, like, go down to your nearest barbecue shack and get their mac and cheese. It's probably better than the mac and cheese you're going to make. And just like do the simple part, but enjoy the good stuff, you know?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of I'll make some appetizers or some snacky stuff, and then I'll grill the meat and everybody else can bring the sides. And, you know, in a post-vaccine life, maybe I'll see some people and grill with more than just me. Be a nice welcome change.
That would be a nice welcome change. But don't put raisins in the potato salad. Seriously, it's an abomination.
Raisins in general are an abomination. I don't know who the first person was who said, hey, these grapes are really old and rotten. I'm going to eat them.
Well, the worst part is you didn't use them for wine. You said, whoa, what if I pick these off the vine? Because you screwed up.
So, Magic the Gathering.
Yes.
We got a fun one this week. We're going on a random card blitz. We're going to hit the random card button on Scryfall so many times. It's going to make your heads, our heads, everyone's heads spin. We're going to kind of blitz through them. I think we'll go like 90 seconds a card and just see what we have to say about whatever comes up.
Yeah, so listeners, if you've ever watched Pardon the Interruption on ESPN, it's now kind of an old in the tooth show, but it used to be a trailblazing watch in a bar sports show. They have a rundown on the side that's now copied on every sports show in existence that lists how long left in each topic there is. And we're going to do that, except in a podcast form. So you're not going to see it. Again, this is like the beauty of this podcast. We're trying to describe things in a physical card medium that would be better suited visually. But we're just going to do it with our voices.
Yeah. It'll be radio, not television. But you know what? People enjoy it when we hit the random card button on Scryfall once per show. So we're just going to do it for the whole episode. And, you know, we used to be called Let's Remember Some Cards. So we're going to remember some cards.
Yeah.
Now, normally, before we go to the main topic, we hit the random card button on Scryfall. We, as we say, crack open the memory jar. But this week, since that's the whole show, I want to do something different. I'm going to go analog. I'm going to crack an actual physical booster pack, which I have not been doing because of the pandemic. And we're going to blitz that. I have selected a Mystery Booster Convention Edition pack that I have left over from the original release of Mystery Boosters in Richmond, Virginia.
Oh, so listeners, just pretend we're all going to be sitting around a table at your LGS. It's the end of the night. You bombed out of your draft because it's F&M and you don't spend as much time. You're not Sam Black. You're not going to 3-0 this. And you're going to look at your friend's prize pack. We're just going to recreate that experience for you.
Okay, here we go. I guess we're gonna do an analog random card button noise here. So I'll do my best. Ready?
Yeah. Perfect.
All right, well, opening this very expensive booster that I could probably sell for a bunch of money on eBay.
Yep. So we started our first episode, we tried to do this physically. The audio is horrible. So hopefully We're not going to recreate. It's not like Chandelier. Well, I'll get into Chandelier later. But let's. So what sure. do we got? What do we open?
Well, our first card is the playtest card. It is Lightning Colt.
Oh.
It is 3 red-red for a 3/3 instant creature horse. And when it enters the battlefield, it deals 3 damage to any target.
Yeah.
So it's a 3/3 that deals 3. I like that it is an instant creature. That's the playtest thing about it. Instead of just having flash, it's an instant creature. And it's basically like Flametongue Kavu. There we go.
Yeah. I mean, this is a reasonable magic card.
Yeah. I'd play that in any draft format. Next is Village Bellringer. 2 and a white for a 1/4 human scout with flash. When it enters the battlefield, untap all creatures you control. So probably one of the least used combos with Kiki Jiki.
Yeah, but it's a combo.
Next is one of my favorites, Cloud Shift. White for an instant, exile target creature you control and return it to the battlefield under your control. Love a good flicker effect.
Yes. It's too bad Ephemerate outclasses it, because Cloud Shift was always a classic.
Yeah, Ephemerate makes this look like a joke, but, you know, Cloud Shift used to be the jam.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, blue, Skitter Eel. 3 and a blue for a 3/3 fish crab. It's got 2 and a blue for adapt 2, so if it has no +1/+1 counters on it, you get to put 2 on it. This was kind of a house in Ravnica Legions Limited.
Yes, doesn't look like it, but turning 3/3 into 5/5, it's a good way to thicken it up. So,
also, Shimmer Scale Drake, another recent one. This one is from Amonkhet, 4 and a blue for a 3/4 flying Drake, and has cycling for 2. That card was totally reasonable.
Totally reasonable. Totally great.
On to black, Shambling Goblin. Single black for a 1/1 zombie goblin. When it dies, target creature and opponent controls gets -1/-1 until end of turn. Yeah, very reasonable card.
I prefer Festering Goblin, but that's just the boomer magician in myself. So
yeah, that's also very reasonable.
That was also not a good English sentence, but we're going to keep going.
Wander and Death, one of my favorites from Amonkhet. 2 and a black for a sorcery. Return up to 2 target creature cards from your graveyard to your hand with cycling 2. Yeah. Played the absolute heck out of this card.
Yeah, that'd be my first pick so far, outside the playtest card. This is the best, probably the best normal card.
Okay, well, we're on to red. Price of Progress, 1 and a red for an instant. Deals damage to each player equal to twice the number of non-basic lands that player controls. Not something that's particularly good in draft, but kind of awesome in Commander, actually, if you just want to kill the table.
Yes, just a great card. Classic.
Renegade Tactics, red for a sorcery. Target creature can't block this turn. Draw a card.
Not a classic.
On to green. Revive, 1 and a green. Sorcery, return target green card from your graveyard to your hand. So just a much worse regrowth.
Yes, but it's Mercadia Masks, so you had to make do with what you had back in the day.
Here's kind of a nice one. Avacyn's Pilgrim.
Oh.
Single green for 1/1 human monk. Tap, add white to your mana pool.
Great card. That's now my first pickable. I love me a Lalnor Elves.
Okay, well, here's another mana dork for you. We're in our gold cards now. Draconic Disciple. 1 red-green for 2/2 human shaman. Tap to add a mana of any color. 7 and tap and sacrifice Draconic Disciple. Make a 5/5 red dragon creature token with flying.
Well, that card is still sweet. I would still take Avacyn's Pilgrim.
Okay, how about colorless? Thran Golem.
Ooh.
5 mana for a 3/3 golem. As long as it is enchanted, it gets +2/+2 and is flying, first strike, and trample.
If this was Urza's Saga block, yes, but it's not, so we don't.
Now we have Corrupted Conscience. 3 blue-blue for an enchantment aura. You control an enchanted creature, and it has infect.
I accidentally passed another control and magic effect in Ascard's Mirrored and Competitive Draft to credit Wesco. This is another one where you don't pass it. This is one of the best cards to draft ever.
And our final card, Beacon of Immortality, 5 and a white for an instant, double target player's life total, shuffle Beacon of Immortality into its owner's library.
Yeah, I'm just slamming Corrupted Conscious, and we're playing Mind Control. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. If Lightning Colt is not in the pack, then I'm taking Corrupted Conscience. 5 mana control magic effect is totally reasonable. They don't really do this much anymore.
Yeah, I think I'd even take it over the Lightning Colt, only because I like blue. That's it. That's the only reason.
I don't know. Lightning Colt.
It's a cool card.
Kind of. All right. Well, there we go. So that was our mystery boosty pack. Let's get on to the main thing. Like I said, we're going to blitz through here. I'm going to keep track of time and keep us moving. What do we say? 90 seconds per card?
Yeah, let's do it. And that doesn't include the card reading.
Okay. Yeah, we'll read the card and then we can go from there. Okay. Random card button. Activate. Okay. Off to the races. We start with Zealous Inquisitor, a common from Scourge, 2 and a white for a 2/2 human cleric. It has an ability, 1 and a white. The next 1 damage that would be dealt to Zealous Inquisitor this turn is dealt to target creature instead. So I guess if you just had all the mana, you could keep this alive forever.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a core. Like, the Encore called and they said, our ability's a lot better. That's all I gotta say. I don't know. I mean, I didn't play this in Onslaught Draft.
Are there other cards that are like this?
I don't know off the top of my head.
Wow.
I know there's the Encores, which do it for zero, and those were printed in Tempest block. They had started, there's one in Tempest itself, and they had more in Stronghold and Exodus.
Okay. I mean, I would rather this be Zealous Conscripts or Zealous Persecution, if we're going to get zealous with something, both of which are just much, much better cards than this.
Yes, I agree. I mean, it's a cleric that was a relevant creature type by the time Scourge rolled around. I wasn't first picking this. I was hoping to get an Eternal Dragon.
Yeah.
One of the basic land cyclers, or there was the morph that was pay 3 life and unmorph it. That was a house. So this was Draftrap.
Kind of a bummer. I mean, not the best Zealous card. Not even the best Inquisitor. I'd rather have Elite Inquisitor from Innistrad.
Yep.
The 2/2 first strike vigilance protection from all the creatures like vampires, werewolves, zombies, whatever that is. Okay, ding ding ding, on to the next card. Wow, this is gonna go really fast.
So our next card is Cancel. You should probably know this, but I'm going to read this anyway. It is 1 blue-blue for an instant and counter target spell. I'm going to make a cancel joke. Did Counterspell cancel this? Good question.
I think this card was already canceled. I mean, every set now has a better cancel. Cancel with Cycling, cancel with Foretell or Scry, or that exiles the spell or mills the opponent for 4, or, you know, whatever it does. We got this in every set for a long time. It was in a bunch of the core sets. It was in Khans of Tarkir for some reason, even though it was double blue and you just wanted to be multicolored. I don't even want to know how many copies I have of this. I need to go through my boxes and just immediately put these in the donate box if I have not done so already.
Right. I mean, this was first printed in Time Spiral. And clearly at the time, you look at the art for the Time Spiral one, it is a throwback to the original Counterspell. And by then, Counterspell had not been standard legal for a couple of years. But it was clear throwback to, yep, this is Counterspell, but it's different. And, I just don't know why they just didn't include Counterspell. I've always felt R&D had overblown the impact of Counterspell. And especially after a year of broken Magic cards, I think Counterspell's fine.
Yeah, one of the nice things is a bunch of versions of Cancel have that centered text that just says counter target spell. This isn't one of them, even though it has the same art with, the guy crushing a spell in his fist. Because this is the Plane Chase Anthology version that they gave us. But the best art, for my money, was the one that was originally an Amonkhet. I'm looking this up. By Matthias Kolros. And it just looks like Negate and all of those other counter spells where it's there's some fire coming in and they're stopping it. So that's pretty cool.
Time Spiral, still the best art. But that's also because it's a throwback.
All right, that's time. So next is Cloud Sprite. A single blue mana for a 1/1 fairy with flying. Cloud Sprite can only block creatures with flying. This is one of a series of cloud creatures with this same can only block creatures with flying ability. Sprite, Djinn, Dragon, Elemental, Cloud Pirates, Cloud Spirit. I want to know what the hell's going on with Cloud Manta. That's the only cloud creature that I know of. I guess the only blue one that starts with cloud as a single word that doesn't have this ability. It's just a 3/2 flying fish.
This is what happens when you have new R&D teams. They don't keep a tradition, and now you have cards with cloud in the name, and they can block other creatures without flying. What's up with that?
I think the real problem is that it was Battle for Zendikar, and everything went haywire. So
Battle for Zendikar.
So this is just a worse flying man.
Yeah.
It did not make our top 10 flying men, because it's just strictly worse.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty art. Mark Zug's art is fantastic. It was actually part of the key art from Arcadian Masks. But yeah, I mean, it's nothing to write home about.
I guess it's got fairy synergies if you want fairies. So
let's not stretch that far.
I mean, that's about it.
Yeah.
This is the Duels of the Planeswalkers version. I didn't realize that they made a Cloud Sprite version of that. Why did they do that? Is this a hot commodity at some point?
You're barking up wrong trees here. I have no idea. I had a ton of these when I opened them when I was a kid and never played them. So question mark.
Okay. Well, that's time. So on to the next.
So the next card's a fun one. It's Mask of Riddles. It's blue and a black for a equipment. Equipped creature has fear. Whenever equipped creature deals combat damage to a player, you may draw a card, and the equip cost is 2. I think what's really interesting about this one is it's one of 2 equipments that allows players to just straight draw a card. A lot of equipment allows you to loot, but this and Sword of Fire and Ice just allow you to straight draw a card.
Okay. There's another one, though. Rogue's Gloves does, right?
Oh, sorry. Yes, you're correct on Rogue's Gloves. I apologize. This is also the only other one with Sword of Fire and Ice that has evasion to it. That's why it's so special.
Oh, sure.
I apologize.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You're right. Rogue's Gloves does do it, but that's all Rogue's Gloves does.
I've never played this card. This just seems great. This seems just very playable. This you know, there are a lot of people with Ninja Commander decks. Like, is this worth it in something like that? I realize it only draws one card a turn, but it just helps your stuff become even more unblockable.
You know, I think it should be played more. I'm surprised it's not. I mean, I forgot this existed until we pulled up a Scryfall thing. Anyway, it's in colors that encourages it, and it's cheap.
Yeah.
I don't know what, like, I guess there's been this whole big push with just optimizing commander decks, which we could talk about in another podcast episode, and maybe it doesn't fit, but I don't know. I think it's playable.
Okay. Sounds good. Let's try the next one.
Yes.
Okay, this one is Oko's Hospitality. Settle down. Settle down. It's not that Oko. This is 3 green blue for an instant. Creatures you control have base power and toughness 3/3 until end of turn. You may search your library and or graveyard for a card named Oko the Trickster, reveal it, and put it into your hand. If you search your library this way, shuffle. My advisors recommend I let them eat you, is the flavor text. And of course, it was said by Oko. So this is about the Planeswalker deck Oko. Oko the Trickster. Not the, you know, he who shall not be named.
Oh.
I hosted a chaos draft at my house, and one of the packs that I opened was a collector booster. And Oko the Trickster, the 6-mana Oko Planeswalker, was in that pack. I knew I was the only green-blue drafter at the table, because this was the third pack. And I let it go, because I thought there was an off chance I could get it back. And I didn't. Naturally, Pro Tour champion Greg Orange realized that the card was very powerful, even though it's like a Planeswalker deck, Planeswalker, and took it. But, I don't know, that's all I got. And then I played him, and it was very good.
It's a card.
Yeah.
I
No, the card's super good. It's super good and limited. Planeswalker deck, Planeswalker's good and limited.
No. I'm talking about Oko's Hospitality. Like,
oh.
It does things.
Does it? Does it do anything?
That's almost time.
Okay, all right, move on.
All right, next one on the docket. Hidden Spider. This is 1 green for an enchantment from Urza's Saga. When an opponent casts a creature spell with flying, if Hidden Spider is an enchantment, Hidden Spider becomes a 3/5 spider creature with reach.
Yeah, this is the secretest reach, man.
Is it? I mean, I guess you could, like, it technically hidden. Yeah, you're right about that.
Yeah. We always talk about the secret reach card in a set. This must have been it for Urza's Saga.
I mean, in Urza's Saga Limited, I don't know if you're really worried about that. I think you were worried about all the dumb black cards. Like, this was a draft set that had Pestilence and Corrupt as black commons.
Yeah, that seems like it could be a problem.
It was.
So maybe Hidden Spiders in your sideboard if you're running into people who aren't playing something scary?
Maybe. I don't know. I'm just saying. Like, Urza Saga, triple Urza Saga might have been one of the dumbest draft formats up there. It was an early one, to be fair.
I mean, maybe there was like a blue-white flyer stack in that format?
I don't remember that. All I remember is we didn't get to, so I read about this. To be fair, I read about this in Top Deck and in The Duelist because I was a young kid and I did not FNM at this time. When I did get a chance to FNM, it was at a store in Tyson's Corner, the mall in McLean, Virginia, and they only played Standard. And so I think we convinced them to do a draft once, and it was in Mercadia Mass Block. But just imagine 8 12-year-olds all trying to draft Mercadia Masks, and no one knows what they're doing. It was pretty fun.
Yeah, I don't want to imagine that. I think the worst thing about playing this card in that draft format is you could get owned if your opponent just played Gilded Drake and then traded their 3-3 flyer for your 3-5. Spider. Sick.
And that's time.
Okay, this is Tempt with Discovery. This is a commander card, 3 and a green for a sorcery. It has Tempting Offer. Search your library for a land card and put it onto the battlefield. Each opponent may search their library for a land card and put it onto the battlefield. For each opponent who searches a library this way, search your library for a land card and put it onto the battlefield. Then each player who searches a library this way shuffles. Basically, you put a land into play, and you go, anybody else want to do this? And if anybody does, then for each person who does, you get to do it again. So you can get a bunch of lands into play. Don't be tempted. If someone plays this, let them have the one land. Don't be the person who lets them get more.
Yeah, so I'm really sad because in the first Commander set, they have these set of cards. Called, they were based off of this kind of temple, except you paid X. And if you paid X, people could join in by paying more mana, and then whatever the total amount of mana was played, everyone searched for that amount of stuff or created that many creatures that drew that amount of many cards. I cannot remember the names for the life of me right now. So Tempt came in the subsequent Commander sets, and they were the nerfed version of those, and not as good. Like, no one really was tempted with Discovery that often.
Yep, Joined Forces was that mechanic, not tempting offer. I loved Collective Voyage. I built a deck at one point, a kitchen table deck, with Marilyn the Mournsong and the cards like Collective Voyage, because Collective Voyage is a forced search for your opponents, where they can't decline the search, and then it played the 6-mana Obnixilis that made them sacrifice a creature and lose 10 life whenever they search the library. So
for the record, by the way, right before time's over,
yeah,
the five cards were Alliance of Arms, Collective Voyage, Mana Charge Dragon, which is the only creature in the set, Mines of Glow, and Shared Trauma.
Oh yeah, Mines of Glow. I forgot about that one. I thought that was a cool name for a card, and I liked the art because it was very, very creepy.
You should be playing Shared Trauma in your Phoenix deck. That is that's a good one.
Yeah, I haven't considered that, but that totally makes a lot of sense. I guess it's just like each player mills X cards for black and X.
Yeah. Oh, we were over time, but this is a lot more interesting than Oko's Discovery or whatever the last one was, which was garbage.
How dare you, sir? All right, next card.
So the next card, this was a fun one. This actually is relevant to our Lady Asmor. So this is Circling Vultures. It's one black for a 3/2 bird. Has flying. You may discard Circling Vultures anytime you can cast an instant. We're going to come back to this. This is crazy. At the beginning of your upkeep, sacrifice Circling Vultures unless you exile the top creature card of your graveyard. And as I said, it's a 3/2. It's from Weatherlight. So why is this crazy? Why is that weird that you can discard this anytime? That seems like a very weird thing to put on a card.
Yeah, so we talked about this recently, and I don't even remember the context, what special action we were talking about, but there, I gave it away. This is a special action. It's one of the like 8 or 9 special actions that exist in the comprehensive rules where you could do this at any time and then you don't lose priority when you do it.
Yep. Like this, the special line in the Magic comprehensive rules for Circling Vultures is 116.2e. The one card has the ability you may discard Circling Vultures anytime you can cast an instant. Doing so is a special action. A player can take such an action anytime they have priority. Wild.
Yeah, that there's just a whole special rule for this 1-mana 3/2 flyer that will die very quickly.
Yeah.
Unless your graveyard is chock full of creatures. And by the way, if your graveyard is chock full of creatures, you probably don't want to be constantly exiling creatures from it. And also, by the way, this is a card that cares about graveyard order, so we're never going to see it reprinted again for any reason.
Absolutely not.
I guess they should just ban it from everything.
But so the question is, in Legacy, is this playable? Because they just spoiled Asmor, and you could cast it for a black. So you can conceivably have a turn 1/3/3, and that seems pretty good.
That does seem pretty good. I don't know if it's good enough, but turn 1/3/3, you know,
you also
hard to say no.
You got Stree Wraith, that works.
Ooh, okay. That's time. On to the next. Okay, this is Waste. It's a basic land. It taps for a colorless mana. The one we specifically got is number 183A from Oath of the Gatewatch, which means it is not a full art Waste. These only came in the bundles, I believe?
Yes. These only.
Yeah, because the packs had
the
full art
one. This is 270 versus, like, if you look for the other Oath of the Gatewatch full art ones, those are 75 cents because you can only get it, I think, in the bundles, or there's, like, starter packs or some special product where you can get them.
Yeah, and unfortunately, this is the Ulamog Wastes, where everything is just kind of, like, white and ugly-looking, not the cool Kozilek Bismuth Wastes. But, I don't know. It's just weird that the uglier ones are more expensive, and it does give me a chance to talk about Colorless and Oath of the Gatewatch, which I loved, and I'm glad that Colorless was a thing, and now we've separated Colorless mana from generic mana, and I want to just, like, keep playing Oath of the Gatewatch draft some more. Is that good? I'm the only one who liked it, I know.
Well, so, I didn't draft it, but I hated Battle for Zendikar so much that I just skipped Oath of the Gatewatch. Like, there was an Oath of the Gatewatch Team Sealed event from Star City, I think, if I remember correctly, in D.C., and I only...
No, that was... It was a Grand Prix.
It was the Grand Prix, that's right.
It was
right.
A Grand Prix, and it was the one that wasn't at the abandoned Walmart way out in Virginia. It was at the convention center in D.C., and I played on a team with our friends James Wiley and Brock Jacoby, and it was great.
Oh, yeah, I skipped it, though, because I hated Oath of Gale.
Yeah, huge mistake.
For the record, right. We have 2 seconds left. The Time Spiral versions are now $370. That is cheap enough where I might consider buying a couple, because those are the best versions of it. So the next one is a classic that had a cantrip staple to it. This is Twitch. It's 2 and a blue for instant. You may tap or untap target artifact, creature, or land, and draw a card. This was originally printed in Tempest, and we pulled up the Worldwake version, which I didn't even realize existed in Worldwake. So this is like extra gravy on top of this mashed potato episode.
Yeah, so this is basically Twiddle, but you tack on draw a card, so it costs 2 more mana than Twiddle. That's how draw a card works. You add 2 mana to a thing, and then you get to draw a card.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's fine. It's funny that it's named Twitch, because when this card was first printed, Twitch, the streaming site, was presumably not a thing, and now it is.
Yeah.
And so we have a card named Twitch.
What are you untapping with this? Or tapping?
Are you seriously asking me this?
Yeah.
You know I own a Time Vault. It's all always Time Vault.
You're right. You're absolutely right. I was wrong. I originally put Sands of Time for a note, and then I went back and I realized they changed the rules on Sands for Time, so that was like eroded quickly after it was released in Visions. So I'm going to go ahead and go with Howling Mind. Just the classic, I'll tap my Howling Mind so you can't draw cards, but I'm going to reopen it on my turn.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah, old rules.
Yeah.
Gotta love it.
Yeah. And this was printed in Tempest. I mentioned Tempest. That's cool. Okay, that's it. Time's over. Boop.
Next one is Serene Master. This is a rare from Commander 2013, the only place or time it's ever been printed. It's 1 and a white for a 0/2 human monk. Whenever Serene Master blocks, exchange its power and the power of target creature it's blocking until the end of combat. This card is sweet. I love the flavor of this so much. It is the monk using his enemy's strength against him. His enemy gets 0 power, he gets the power of his opponent, and it shows this small monk with like a giant ogre or something on the ground that he's clearly taken out. That's super, super flavorful.
Oh, yeah. I wish this was played more. I remember playing it when it was in one of the Commander decks. I think it might have been Goat Gifter. I can't remember the name for whatever reason. It's been a week. But I like that the way it's written and templated is if you have a way to block multiple creatures, it unfortunately doesn't steal all of their power, because that'd be really complicated. It allows you to choose one that is blocking that might have the most power, that it can then take out all the others in one awesome fight and then die at the end. Kind of like something out of a Bruce Lee movie, where you're like, pow, pow. Ooh,
that's pretty sweet. So you got to put this in, what, your Monk Tribal Commander deck?
Yes.
I guess?
Yes.
Is that a thing you could do? I bet you could do like a Jeskai Monk deck. There's a bunch of monks from cons, right?
Yes, and that's time. So the next card we're going to talk about is Providence. Providence was originally printed in Eldritch Moon. It is 5 white-white for a sorcery. You may reveal this card from your opening hand. If you do, at the beginning of the first upkeep, your life total becomes 26. And then your life total becomes 26 if you cast it. Is this the worst promo you could possibly open for a recent Magic set when they started to have the rares and mystics as promo cards?
No. I say this as someone who did open this as my promo at an Eldritch Moon pre-release. The worst is the promo I opened at the Oath of the Gatewatch pre-release, Hedron Alignment.
Oh, yeah.
Which was, you know, it was like a hexproof enchantment, and you could win the game if you had like one in your hand, one in exile, one in
your graveyard.
On the battlefield, and one in your graveyard?
Yeah. All 4 zones.
Yeah. Yeah. So that really didn't do much. I still have it in that like original plastic. Anyway, Providence.
So there's a funny question. It was, how much life would you have to gain off a Healing Solve before you could actually cast it in a competitive game of Magic? And all I'll say is Providence is the wrong answer. I would not cast Healing Solve just to gain 6. Okay. But I love that Wizards tried to answer this question and it was incorrect.
Do we think this is the only Magic card that shares a name with a city in Rhode Island?
I don't know. I don't know all the cities in Rhode Island.
I mean, Newport, Pawtucket, Narragansett.
Bangor? I mean, I only know Bangor.
That's Maine. Come on, Christian.
I'm so sorry. It's the New England. It just kind of all merges together. And I've been watching a lot of Maine Cabin Masters, and that's my excuse. And now we're out of time.
Okay, the next one is Voril of the Hullclade. One green blue for a 1/4 legendary human merfolk. It has one ability, green blue tap. Double the number of each kind of counter on target artifact, creature, or land. Man, the Oracle text was dramatically improved here by use of the word double once they started doing that. It just makes it much clearer.
Yes.
This was one of my first commanders. I made a deck that cared mostly about charge counters and less about plus one counters. I don't know. It was pretty sweet.
This is a sweet card. Gildeburn, Cries, and Agony, because they just printed a legendary version of it, and, you know, it's just not the same.
No, I like it. I mean, it's probably good that it doesn't say Planeswalker on it, that it's not just permanent. Kind of a bummer that it doesn't say enchantment, because there are a few enchantments out there that could be fun with counters, but I don't know. I've always liked the idea of a deck that has charge counters and focuses on charge counters. If I could make a Traxa EDH deck, I wouldn't, because everybody would see it and try to kill me immediately, but I would want it to, like, have no Planeswalkers and just be all about, like, artifacts with charge counters.
Yeah, people tried to make the whole Scepter of the Magistrate, if I remember correctly, that it's that artifact in Mercadian Mass that allows you to take extra turns. Like, they try to make that a thing with, I think, Vorel and EDH, and it doesn't really work, but, you know, it's a nice idea in theory.
They tried to make that work so bad they reprinted it in Magic 2019, and it was still horrible. I'm just saying, I want to get my Lux Cannon going. Can we just Lux Cannon all day?
Yes. And the card is Magistrate Scepter. I had the wording confused.
Yeah, apologies. That's right.
Well, that's time. Cool. Boop. So our next card is a classic. It's Dinkus Egg. It's 4 colorless for an artifact. Whenever a land is put into a graveyard from the battlefield, Dinkus Egg deals 2 damage to that land's controller. I would love to talk about this mainly because I've been playing a bit of Chandelar lately, and this card's actually good in Chandelar. Who knew? Who knew it?
It's good in Chandelar because you're just, like, sinkholing people all the time?
Well, so you have Sinkhole and, like, Strip Mine is handed out like candy. Like, early Magic design is wild. Ice Storm and Stone Rain are commons that are included in Chandelar. And Armageddon was a card. You could totally, you know, quest for Armageddons. So, yeah, when you have to start with 10 life, Dinkus Egg is great.
Hmm, interesting. So it's like 4 mana, I don't know, deal 6 to your opponent if you're casting a bunch of other land destruction spells?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, you get Monovolt like candy also in Chandelar, but the best thing you can cast with it is like a Crawlworm. So casting a turn 1 Dinkus Egg ain't the worst thing. In fact, Anka Mishra might be better in Chandelar, but we're also debating about the Chandelar meta, and there's anti involved, okay. So let's not get into it.
Do we know what a Dinkus is? Because there's Dinkus Egg and there's Dinkus Staff, which is definitely better. That's whenever a creature dies, its controller takes 2 damage. Yes. But there's no Dinkus creature.
Maybe Dinkus is a person. Maybe we'll just have to wait for Modern Horizon 3 to get Dinkus.
I imagined a Dinkus was hatching out of the egg. Also, I recall, like, playing this back in the day and telling people that they were Dinkus eggs. So
I think that's a good
note. Maybe we just don't need to reprint it. Fair enough. Okay, here's Thundercloud Shaman. 3 red for a 4/4 giant shaman. This is an uncommon from Lorwyn. When Thundercloud Shaman enters the battlefield, it deals damage equal to the number of giants you control to each non-giant creature. So if you have a bunch of giants and changelings, this is just like a sweet board wipe.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. Like, that's
nice.
That's the whole thing.
Super into this. As somebody who loved the blue-red giants deck in Kaldheim, but started playing after Lorwyn and, you know, around the time of the first Modern Masters, I never got to really play a Giants deck before. I would have killed for this card.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Downside, usually it's paired with Changelings, so it doesn't actually truly wipe the board. But true. It does a... It passes enough. I kind of wish they'd make a wizard version of this. I feel like has to be a version where it's like the wizard that like comes in and like casts this lightning bolt or like a thunderstorm or something to knock everyone out. I think that's doable.
I think that's probably too good, though. There are, like, way better wizards than there are giants. That's the nice thing about this, is unless you're just doing changeling, like, there aren't a lot of cheap giants available. They're kind of like dragons in that
one. That's why you gotta play changelings.
Yeah, I guess so. Thundercloud Shaman. Pretty sweet.
Yeah. Next card. Wayfarer's Bauble. This is 1 for an artifact. It was originally printed in 5th Dawn. It says, 2 tap. Sacrifice Wayfarer's Bauble. Search your library for a basic land card. Put the card in the battlefield tapped, then shuffle. This is great. This was proto Armillary Sphere, and this was, if you're not green, this is the way to ramp back in the day.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I've ever actually played Wayfarer's Bauble. I thought maybe I had, but I think I'm thinking of Traveler's Amulet and other cards like it. I don't think I've ever played this card. Because I only would have played it in Commander, and I would have taken this out of all my Commander decks. So, yeah.
It was a Commander deck staple for a while. It was reprinted in Commander 2013, Commander 2014, Modern Masters 2015 to get more, try to get more into Commander's cards, and then also Commander 2015 and Commander 2017. It's still a $3 card. Like, this is legit a staple. Like, this is rampant growth in any color you want. Like, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of rampant growth, but it's like a 3-mana rampant growth, even if it's split up over 2 turns. I guess it's a good way to get a land into play, but even so, it's like, you're putting it onto the battlefield tapped, like, it's a little rough.
I guess the question is, so Environmental Sciences is a lesson in Strixhaven, so it's 2 and it's, sure, it's Lay the Land, basically, for any color.
Yeah.
I feel like if they made a lesson version of Rampart Growth, it would have been at least 3 or 4 mana. And if you can cast it for 3, I think that's perfectly, you're perfectly happy if you're a red deck and you get to Wayfarer's Bauble for, or you get to you get to ramp for 3 colorless mana.
I guess so. Yeah, you need to splash, you need to get your mana, whatever. I don't know. It's fine. Hey, it's Fungusaur, 3 and a green for a 2/2 fungus dinosaur. Got that sweet dinosaur errata, apparently. That makes sense. Whenever a Fungusaur is dealt damage, you put a +1/+1 counter on it. This is the card that made me fall in love with +1/+1 counters when I opened it and revised.
That's awesome. And we have the most recent printing was 8th edition, right?
Yeah. So, that's it. It's probably not good enough anymore. Certainly not good enough to be at rare.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. This is being uncommon now, which is kind of sad to think about. There was a cool, neat tidbit. We both read about this recently. If you look into Ice Age and you look up Jodelworm, it looks like Fungusaur. It's like a Fungusaur buddy. So what was up with that?
My understanding was, I read something about Daniel Gellin. I'm not sure how it's pronounced, but he originally was recommissioned to draw an Arctic Fungusaur because the original plan for an Ice Age set was going to be, they were just going to release like an ice version of the original set. And so that was going to be the plan. But then they realized that like, the standalone sets like Arabian Nights took off and were popular, so they never released Arctic Fungusaur, but then they reused that art for a totally different creature. So that's Jodelworm in Ice Age, which is a little bit weird.
It's pretty weird.
I don't know. It's also a little weird to me that the 5th edition Fungusaur art is the only one that doesn't actually look like Fungusaur. It's like a weird little dragon thing. And it's also strange that when they brought it back in 8th edition, they commissioned new art from Heather Hudson, and it's just like a fancier version of the original Fungusaur art.
Hey, man.
But it's...
It keeps the OG going, and I'm down with it.
I like it. It's like an interpretation of the original art. They should do that more often.
I feel like Fungusaur was one of those they voted in 8th edition cards, but we ran out of time, so we cannot confirm nor deny that. So our next card, this is a great one. I love this card in Limited. It's Tumble Magnet. It's 3 colors for an artifact. Tumble Magnet enters the battlefield with 3 charge counters on it. Tap, remove a charge counter from Tumble Magnet. Tap target artifact or creature. We pulled up the Double Masters version. This was originally printed in Scars of Mirrodin. I love this card. This is a common in Scars of Mirrodin, which is wild. This is a fantastic common, especially if you can proliferate it, which you could do in Scars of Mirrodin. So it never ran out of counters.
Yeah, this card's pretty sweet. I remember playing one of them in Modern Masters 2015. I had a proliferate deck where I had a couple of Everflowing Chalices. And the goal was to proliferate enough things where I could just hard cast Emrakul with Everflowing Chalices. Totally successful, totally hilarious, totally ridiculous for a draft deck. But Tumble Magnet is the thing that kept me alive, because every time I proliferated, I could put another counter on it and then, like, not die.
Funny enough, Everflowing Chalices is an uncommon in Scars of Mirrodin. And there was a lot of decks where I got to, you know, pick up Everflowing Chalice and Tumble Magnet. It's a bit wild a common where you can proliferate, because it was the correct first pick in almost every pack. Like, it was, there's very few rares that were just outright better than Tumble Magnet. Just fantastically oppressive. And that, as they say, is that.
Oh, this is a nice one. Siren's Call. Single blue mana for an instant. Wow, the Oracle text. There's so much Oracle text on this. Cast this spell only during an opponent's turn before attackers are declared. Creatures the active player controls attack this turn if able. At the beginning of the next end step, destroy all non-wall creatures that player controls that didn't attack this turn. Ignore this effect for each creature the player didn't control continuously since the beginning of the turn. So this is a broad Nettle Imp.
Yes. Well,
which is...
We're magic boomers. Like, the zoomers don't even know what Nettle Imp is.
Yeah, so basically Nettling Imp was a creature you could tap to make a creature attack. The nice thing is, yes, it doesn't affect creatures that enter the battlefield this turn, but you can do it to, like, the mana dork that they tapped to cast a spell.
Yes.
It can't attack. It dies.
I would love to see this in Modern Magic. I don't think it's a bad thing. Like, they printed Uro. Like, you can't imagine Siren's Call is any worse.
It would kind of be a reasonable thing in Commander if it just affected all players during their next combat step. You kind of have something that does that with Goad, but with Goad, it doesn't have that cool... Yeah, if it doesn't attack for whatever reason, then it also just dies. So, I can see something like that. I mean, Disrupt Decorum is kind of like that in red. That goads everything.
Yep.
But it's too red-red, so I don't know.
It's a cool card.
Siren's Call. There it is. Yeah. The original text on this. All of opponent's creatures that can attack must do so. I just love alpha rules text.
This sells for like hundreds of gold on Chandelure, FYI. So if you ever pick one up.
Oh.
Unplayable.
But okay.
Great way to get your food in Chandelure.
Yeah. I just want people to attack into my living wall.
100%.
My 0/6 wall that regenerates for a single generic mana.
You put, but then you put Living Artifact on one of their artifacts. So now you have a Living Artifact and Living Wall.
Wow. We really did. I don't know what we did, but we did something. And fortunately, that's time, so we can move on.
Okay. Beetleback Chief is 2 red-red for a Goblin Warrior. When Beetleback Chief enters the battlefield, create 2 1/1 red Goblin Creature tokens. It is a 2/2. Did I mention it's 2/2? I can't remember. I'm a little tired. This was originally printed in Plane Chase 2012. We pulled up the Jumpstart version. So, yeah. Hooray, Jumpstart. This is a card.
Yeah, it is a card. I mean, look, 4 mana, 3 goblins. It's hard to ask for much more than that. The flavor text is awesome. Whether trained, ridden, or eaten, few goblin military innovations have rivaled the bug. Which, you know, it's just kind of an all-purpose thing for them.
Yeah.
Should this also be an insect? It's a goblin warrior, but it kind of bugs me. Like, it's confusing when a card is the rider, and sometimes it's the beast that it's riding.
You're thinking too hard about goblins. We're not...
Yeah, I guess that's true. That's, like, not very goblin-y of me, but...
We're not Hobbs. We're not going to think too hard about this. I mean...
The Goblin Lore podcast does love their goblins. That's true.
That's true.
I don't know. These guys are just riding beetles and having a good time.
They are. I mean,
I guess... And the chief just comes with his two guys? His two buddies?
This was the card they wanted Mog War Marshal to be. But Mog War Marshal is much better.
So. Yeah, Mog War Marshal does kind of rule. I mean, I have a Goblin Commander deck, and this is certainly in there, and it seems underwhelming, but, you know, like I said, 3 goblins, 1 card. Like, that's all you can ask for. I didn't actually look at this card until recently. I just assumed that Beetleback Chief was, like, he was the chief of, you know, a clan called, like, the Beetleback Clan or something. And then I was like, oh, no, they're literally riding beetles. I guess I really do overthink goblins, huh?
Maybe a little bit. This might be our angle to get on the Goblin War podcast. Talk about goblins.
I'm just thinking about goblins... Like, Goblin Rock Sled. What does it all mean? Oh, they're just in a sled sliding down a hill?
Tying back into Chandelure for a third time. That's the first card I sell in all my red decks, because it's not very good.
Man, I really need to re-download Chandelure, huh?
You do.
This is now a Chandelure podcast?
It's a Chandelure podcast, baby. Let's talk about Mox Ruby and how you have to get in one of the dungeons. What's up with that?
Well, that's, you know, we talked about Chandelure. What can you do? That's a lot of cards. That's a lot of random card buttons. I think we should almost completely wrap this up. I will say before we go, you mentioned it up top, but man, Asmore and the Underworld Cookbook, or the Gastronomicon.
Yes.
Both cards we discussed last week. And Christian, do you want to remind everyone how that's pronounced? I'm going to go ahead and do that.
Asmorenomarticadistanikuldakar. That's close enough.
Yeah, I've always said Asmorenomarticadistanikuldakar, but, you know, different strokes for different folks. There's a bunch of people out pronouncing it on Twitter since the card has been spoiled today. We also retweeted David Lyford Smith sharing a video of a magic quiz he did in which he had to correctly spell Asmorenomarticadistanikuldakar and did.
And speaking of David Lyford Smith, we're going to talk to him about Modern Horizons 2 in the next episode. We normally don't do previews. That is on deck for our next episode, barring World Catastrophe.
I'm very excited. I love having David Lyford Smith on the podcast. He's great. If you haven't listened to our other episodes with him, creating the Magic Bracket and Magic Quiz Show, highly, highly recommended. Great guy.
I'm just going to be excited because the whole episode is just going to be going through as many references as possible, because Modern Horizons 2, let's be real here, is just references and references and references to Magic Past. It'll be fun to go through and like point out what those references are, because some are very obvious and some are like, well, let me tell you. Let's tell you about the old cards back in the good old days.
We talked during Modern Horizons 1, and Wizards just freely acknowledged that they were just making like a new Time Spiral set. Modern Horizons 2 is so much more ridiculous than that. It's like more keywords, more obscure keywords, lore references that nobody knows. There's a new chub toad that's a samurai.
I know.
It's just ridiculous.
Also, I was talking in a Discord I'm in earlier, and they're reprinting Seal of Cleansing. And I said, Wizards, you cowards, you have two more seals left to print. Make all the five original Nemesis seals modern legal. We should see them. I missed that they actually are reprinting Seal Removal. And, if we get all the seals in modern, maybe I just go to a Nemesis flashback deck for FNM once. Just roll in with all five seals and be like, you're going to dance the Mansum, return them, deal with all these threatening things while you like do a turn two Death Shadow and bolt my face, and I'm just going to look like an idiot. But doesn't matter. I got the seals.
I'm torn between like a zoo trainer joke and a Heidi Klum joke, and I just don't know where to go with it.
Oh, man, you missed out. You should have been playing Magic then during that. They're so good. Love them.
Sounds nice to me. Well, I will say thank you for joining us today. You can find us on Twitter at our handle at MemoryJarMTG. Tweet at us. Send us a random card and let's talk about it. Let's have a little banter on Twitter about a random card. Hit that random card button. Tell us what cards you want to remember.
Yes. Again, special thanks to Chris Yates for the logo. We greatly appreciate it. You can find Chris on Twitter at CMY Company. That's company with a K. Until next time, hit that random button on Scryfall. Live life a little crazy. And remember, if you get a basic land, it's okay to hit that button again.